This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. Our feature review for you this week is Joker. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Let's get straight into it then. Joker is directed, co-written, and produced by Todd Phillips, along with Bradley Cooper and Emma Koskoff.
Bradley Cooper?
Yes, exactly. Scott Silver was the other co-writer, of course, based off the famous DC character, the Batman villain. The budget was somewhere between $55 and $70 million.
Runs okay.
For 122 minutes, and it's going to be an absolute juggernaut at the box office because it's already made, as of the Sunday of recording, so it's only been out for 2 days, $97 million.
Dude.
Wayne, what's it about?
Joker is set in 1981 Gotham City. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. There's a garbage strike, there's rats in the street and piled up trash, and parts of the city are just slums. Arthur Fleck is an aspiring stand-up comedian whose day job is working as a clown, either entertaining kids in a hospital or waving signs on a crowded city street. Arthur is kind of a pathetic man-child who lives with his mother, Frances Conroy, and he writes down idle thoughts and bad puns in his joke journal, and he's nursing deluded ambitions to appear as a late-night guest in this show that's hosted by Robert De Niro, Murray Franklin. And this is basically a character piece about how an underprivileged man starts to get pushed over the edge and slowly becomes the Joker.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because the Wikipedia page, very interestingly mentioned that being the cast, has just Joaquin Phoenix as... what do we call him? Joaquin?
Joaquin
Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix.
Jeez. Okay.
Joaquin Phoenix.
There we go.
As the joke, it's the only name written there, which is pretty interesting. So you mentioned Robert De Niro and Francis Conroy.
Yeah.
Zazie Beetz is the only other sort of name recognition there.
And yeah.
Is it Brett Cullen? Is Thomas Wayne. And there's probably a good reason for that. It's because Joaquin is...
Let's call him Phoenix.
We're calling Phoenix. Jay Phoenix is by far the standout part of this film.
Well, first of all, he's in every single fucking scene.
Yeah, he is.
So there's basically not that much room for other people.
Mm. 100% agree. And here is the best impersonation that you're likely to hear of the man.
I'm a Joker and Joker's on you! Yeah!
Perfect.
No,
that's
okay.
Exactly Joaquin Phoenix's.
If everyone doesn't know what that drop was, it is Tommy Wiseau, who's trying out apparently for the Joker. It's a video online. I hadn't seen it. Paul played it for me. I fucking hate it because it's annoying as shit.
For about 8 months ago.
But a huge shock that one of Paul's sound drops is fucking annoying.
A shock's on you.
That's not better.
All right, Wayne, what did you think of Joker?
Yeah, I don't know. The show was definitely competently made. There are great performances, and the director's vision was quite good. It is a fine movie. It's not a great movie, if you ask me. All right? The liberties they take with the Batman mythos is very... It's in the background, and it's quite shocking, some of it, if you're a Batman geek
which
like myself.
Are, yeah.
But what's good about it is that for most of the movie, I did not feel like I was watching a Joker film or a DC film. It was definitely a character piece. It was a story, okay? And I know people are talking about Taxi Driver and this and that and the themes.
And they fucking well should be.
This is a Scorsese love letter, this whole thing. There are references to his shit.
It's a love letter at best. It's an absolute ripoff at worst.
Yeah. This is the thing about this thing, right? The director... the good thing about Todd Phillips is you can say, all right, he's borrowing from the best. But it's a total ripverse, right? Yes. That's the only good thing you can say. Because everything else, right? All the Scorsese references become a little bit exhausting after a while.
To the point where it's so on the nose that Robert De Niro is cast as a major supporting player.
Robert De Niro immediately is the fucking, king of comedy. Like, that reference is already there right in the middle, right? And I did like his performance, by the way. I did like Bob's performance.
It was fine.
Yeah. But I got to say this, right? I know everyone mostly loves this film.
Actually, no.
No?
There's a backlash which has begun. A significant one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about that. Because to me, this movie outstayed its welcome with me. Like, I started getting a bit bored towards the end. And yes, there's some
I'm amazed it was towards the end. I was bored through most of this film.
Look, I knew it was going to be this slow burn,
I'm done with slow burn. Can we please have some fucking excitement?
Finally, you're speaking my language! I feel so guilty when I'm like, I'm bored because I'm just fucking, I need entertainment all the time because I'm just a consumer. But fuck it, you know what? Fuck you! Entertain me, alright? That's what I paid you $12 for.
Mr. Phoenix didn't show me. I think without him, This film falls apart.
Completely. Well, look, to be fair, he made the movie with him and he knew what Joaquin Phoenix would do, so yep. He does his thing. And he is amazing. Very tight shots. Crazy stuff going on. You can tell the things that are changing in his head and everything's believable. The thing is, his fucking laugh pissed me off.
Well,
right?
Two things I never need to hear again.
Oh, God.
Or see again. The first is the laugh. Absolutely. Oh, my God. I did really like the fact that he had this card which explained that he has this neurological condition.
Yeah.
Which my partner leant over to me and said, is that a real thing? And I'm like, well, of course, I'm the authority on everything. So I can tell you quite confidently, I don't know. But no, look, let's just look at it as a Tourette's, a form of Tourette's.
Sure.
Let's accept that and move on. I love the card and how it explained it. And that was cool because it got him in trouble numerous times through the film. And I really liked that aspect of it.
Yeah, he had
Every other part of the mental health, though, I had problems with.
I was wondering how you might think of that.
Yeah, I just really feel like...
Well, see, his laugh, right? You can tell, and the way the guy is playing it, this is what makes it good. You can tell it's actually hurting him to laugh. It's actually hurting his throat.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to do it.
It's a feature of Mr. Phoenix's role.
Absolutely.
Joaquin Phoenix's role.
Well, absolutely. But that's his thing. Like that's why it's good. The performance is as good as it is, right?
So I totally get behind
but that. But the edit was as bad because the laugh went on so long it started pissing me off. And he did that a lot.
Okay. The second part, I never need to see him dance ever again.
Oh, God.
Ever again. And so I thought to myself while I'm watching this film, I thought, Wayne's going to love this. First of all, it's based on a Batman character. Two, there's lots of impromptu dancing.
Why would I like that?
And three, the laugh is more annoying than yours.
Exactly.
Win.
You would think so. But it turns out even when you have an annoying laugh, you find other laughs annoying. You know what I mean? And so, you feel bad about yourself, but then you get over it and go, fuck it. So I'm telling you, though, this thing where he's dancing, right?
Oh, my God.
It's not just the dancing, right? It's like every Jimmy Durante song getting played in the background while fucking when you're smiling, you know, that shit. And then the fucking like slow-mo, like not even, sometimes he's doing Tai Chi. He's just kind of fucking doing stuff with his body, right? And I'm like, what the fuck's that, right? And it started to give me
the most
shit.
Seriously worrying shoulder blades.
Oh no, he's emaciated.
Seen,
he's,
yeah.
Like, if he cut up for that
have
role
you seen
to do that.
You were never really here. I think that's what it's called.
No, I didn't, no.
He but is overweight in that movie.
He's
gone through a Christian Bale-esque mechanic. Is that what it's called?
Machinist
type transformation. Because he is,
No,
like
he looks
emaciated.
I saw his, like, you know, the first time you see his, like, he's shirtless from the behind. I was like, is that really him? Did he do that for this role? Or is that just someone's body? He fucking did. I'm like, holy shit. So he's very committed, and I appreciate that. All right? And I wouldn't do it.
Again, right? it's a person who is absolutely going hardcore for this is important.
Yeah, and you know, as an audience member, I definitely appreciate it. So that's amazing and stuff. But I think that, you know how we're like, this is my problem. Those songs with the Jimmy Durante songs and the slow-mo him dancing, that goes on for like the whole song almost. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. It becomes monotonously grandiose to me. That's what gives me the shits.
If I can borrow a line from my partner who said, I liked the film, I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to that. I think this film is designed from the get-go to put you on edge. I think if you are an anxious person, I don't know how much mileage you get out of this. If you're not an anxious person and you want to be more anxious, watch this movie.
Yeah, and I don't know if I am or am not an anxious person, but I definitely was during this show.
I was anxious for something to happen.
Yeah.
But I didn't care. Like, there's bursts of violence in it. And so let's now address the big sort of hoo-ha about this film. So it wins the Golden Lion, whatever, at the Venice Film Festival.
Is that what happened?
8 minute standing ovation. Fuck off. If you stood up and applauded this film for 8 minutes after it happens, you have a little going on in your life.
Let me tell
cinematically.
You. Okay, let me tell you something, right? I've never been to like a Sundance or to like one of those like really, really printy things.
Nor
but
have I.
You know, but I've been to ones in the New York like film shows, Tribeca Film Festival, shit like that, okay? And what you have is when you have this. Especially if River Phoenix, oh, sorry, Joaquin Phoenix
if
was there.
The filmmaker and the star.
The filmmaker's there.
The
it makes it a whole different thing, okay?
It does. And even recently at a very local film festival, there was just the writer of a very local film about to hit our cinemas now there. And it did add something.
Absolutely.
To it.
And that's why if you were sitting in that room and you were seeing Joaquin Phoenix's performance the way it was, and Joaquin was sitting like just down a few rows down from you, it would hit you completely differently.
Would you applaud for 8 minutes?
Look, if everyone else was doing it, I would probably be weird about sitting down first. Like,
I'd have been like, "Am I standing now?"
Yeah, you absolutely will, and you get caught up with it.
I was saying, "Oh yeah, this is good. Yeah, all right, cool, sitting down now." Whoa, why are we still going? Man, I'm going to check Facebook.
Man, those things have crowd fluffers. I went to a Dave Letterman taping once, right? Okay. And people run up and down the line when you're outside the theater saying, hey, what's up? Is everyone having a good time? Yeah, like this shit, right? They're whipping you up. By the time you're in there, you're in state. There's a warm-up guy. I'm not sure they did that on here, but it's a whole different thing. Yeah. I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying it's...
Again, I want to emphasize this film is not worth any standing ovation. No, definitely, unless it's there. But I do believe something has happened here.
What?
I think the bigwigs behind the comic book films...
Mm-hmm.
Have finally lucked in, or lucked out, whatever it is, upon the formula that it takes to win major awards. I think they're sick and tired of winning best makeup and best set dressing and best production design.
They win a best film.
I don't know, best film.
Best actor.
Best actor, for sure. I reckon he gets nominated.
Yeah, he does.
And here is the deal. So they basically go, let's not bother with anything to do with a superhero. Let's get rid of every element of lycra. Let's get rid of every cape. There's none of those are to be seen in this film. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on the realistic, downtrodden nature of a side character. And let's cast someone who's due an Academy Award. He's never won. He's been nominated 3 times. Gladiator, Walk the Line, and something else off the top of my head. Oh, The Master, off the top of my head. Never won. This is a man who is Al Pacino-ing it, Leonardo DiCaprio-ing it up.
Yes, and you know what?
That's they are angling for it here. Like you said, he's in every scene, he's in almost every
this
shot.
This is his movie, like no doubt.
And I think they've decided this is the way that we get a comic book film to win a major Academy Award.
That's going
to
be the showdown this year. Brad Pitt versus Joaquin Phoenix, okay?
There's a lot of stuff still to come out, so let's just see.
Well, Brad's going to get, he's going to get two. He's going to get fucking the Quentin movie, and he's going to get Ad Astra.
He might get nominated for both.
Nommed. Which means he could win either. Which means if he wins the other one, Joaquin would get this one.
I don't think he wins Ad Astra. I think Joaquin Phoenix beats him out.
Yeah, probably. Okay.
Anyway, look, we're getting ahead of ourselves. This is Academy Award Radio.
Yeah.
There's a reason we keep focusing on him, because there's nothing else in this film. There's almost no plot. The plot is how this man descends from
just bad shit,
borderline madness. He's got his mental health issues, like I was alluding to earlier. He's got his mental health issues and how he becomes the Joker.
Yeah.
Right. And that I could kind of buy, although I'm a little bit down on the negative representation of people with mental health issues, because most of the people with mental health issues just get by perfectly fine. But it's a movie. Let's move past that.
Okay.
What I'm not okay with is what happens around him. How the fuck does he become the icon for let's rise up against the rich? It's bullshit.
Well, I didn't actually have a problem with that part.
None of it rang true to me whatsoever. He kills... All right, we're moving into spoilers now. I'm going to pause that moment.
Yeah, okay.
And do you have anything else to say non-spoilers?
No, let's just get straight into spoilers. We've talked enough about this. Let's go.
Right, cool. All right, we are into spoilers. As you can tell, I'm a bit mixed on this film. I think Wayne is too, but I'm gonna guess you can give it about a 10-point higher score. We shall see in due course. He kills 3 assholes on a train.
Yes.
Right? Who... maybe don't deserve to die, but certainly deserve a beat down for being the wankers they are.
They should fucking die. They're sort of terrorizing some woman. Yes. They're being assholes.
Yep.
Fuck them. Kill them.
Yep.
Kill them.
Anyway, so he does that. It is a moment of surprising violence.
That's a really... I thought that scene was great, because you see them and you don't see him pull the gun. You just see bang, bang, their chests open up.
Yep.
And oh, shit. And he just takes him out and he even chases the last guy down. All very good.
That's all fine. Then Thomas Wayne comes on and basically calls people clowns who identify with this guy and whatever else. And that's enough?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen effigies of people based on shit they said all the time.
I'm going to vehemently disagree, and here's why.
Why?
Because that kind of shit disorganizes people. Half, not even half, 10% are like, yeah, let's run with that as a rallying cry. And the other 10% are like, oh, no, that's fucking bullshit. No, it just... people wouldn't get behind it. It just wouldn't work that way. It's not well enough established for me.
Really? Okay. Well, I mean, let's look at the Area 51 thing. All right?
Where 10 people turned up?
Yeah, that's all bullshit, all right? But that's in this day and age, all right? Now, so I think with your internet culture and the rallies and the this and the Twitter and all that crap, right? It is easy to disrespect those messages. However, if you have I'm playing, the other side here. Oh. You have a downtrodden society. It's well established that the economy is fucked and everyone's pissed off and they hate Wall Street, just like now, but more so because it's 80s, right? So Then there's a spark where, holy shit, this guy says clowns, 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 and then a clown kills three of the representatives.
Other way around. Clown kills first. Then
clown kills first. Okay. And then he says clowns more. But that would make people go, yeah, clown, fuck you. Well, we're the clowns. All right. It's just like the 1% rallies. The 1% rallies.
Maybe I'm being a bit pedantic.
I'm just saying.
But it didn't gel for me. I'm like, why? Really? Come on. Like, we had a clown epidemic recently.
Did we?
A couple of years ago where people off around the it thing was...
Ah, yeah, that's right. I remember now.
It wasn't like suddenly it was a rallying point for
That's a lot less interesting. I mean, that's just a fucking movie, basically. This is about their lives. Look at Hong Kong, all right? Look at Hong Kong now.
Yeah.
Those riots are about the fucking big wigs changing look.
Yes, all right? Yes.
So this is kind of that.
Dressing as clowns?
They might. They're Asian. They fucking dress up. It's fine. There'll be LEDs too, bitch. And a lot of reverse parking. What? All right, so... I think that I don't have any problem believing that this kind of thing could happen in that universe.
No, I'm not just trying to say for me.
I mean, you know more about people, but I'm just saying.
This is like whatever. It's very, very swift how this all happened. No one gets an arc in this film. No one. And I'll give a credit to a film with a veiled.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Veiled criticism. Zazie Beetz's character is so underwritten, it's hilarious.
Who's Zazie Beetz?
The neighbor who he's fucking. Except it turns
the girl,
out that he's not fucking because it's on his head. So that made it okay, right?
Yeah. Well, so would it not have been okay?
No, no. Oh, my God. Are you trying to tell me that's a well-rounded character, that woman, until it turned out that...
that she all of a sudden...
Yes.
I'm like, what the
fuck? Why is she fucking him? She's half his age.
Yeah, and way tighter.
And she could... Yeah, she could have any... It doesn't matter. She could have anyone. And why the fuck is... And he stalks her to work, and she's like, should you follow me?
Cool. Exactly.
I'm like, there is something fucking wrong here.
But because it's in his head, it's all right.
So that all worked out. Okay. That explained that. The only other character, not even really an arc, although it's an arc in retrospect, is his mother, who is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn she's crazy through the course of the film. Otherwise, nobody else does anything in this movie.
Yeah. I was hoping that... Yeah, you're right, because Thomas Wayne's the same from the start and beginning.
That was interesting. So Thomas Wayne's a cunt.
Yes. Now, let me tell you about this, right? I was initially really pissed about this, right?
I thought you might be.
I was sitting there going, hang on a sec. One, Thomas Wayne, who's supposed to be the man who built Gotham, is actually a cunt. Two... You're suggesting the Joker and Bruce Wayne are half brother and brother, right? And I'm like, fuck off, right? Don't do that shit. And then I was thinking about all this stuff, and I remembered that Todd Phillips said this is an Elseworlds movie, right? Now, for anyone who doesn't know, in DC they have this type of comic called Elseworlds where they take the characters and they put them in a whole different position, like they make Batman Sherlock Holmes or all that sort of shit, right? So that means it's not canon.
Yeah, absolutely not.
So that's fine.
Then they're not.
No, they can do whatever, but they were taking very big liberties with Pissy. Now, there's one cool thing that I want to mention. When you finally do see Bruce Wayne in this movie as like a 12-year-old child, he is, he sort of sees him over the fence, and then Bruce Wayne jumps down from his fort or whatever, and he slides down a bat pole.
Yeah.
And I was like, hee, that was kind of cool, right? That was, for a fan like me, I'm like, oh, okay, I get Adam with, right? And I'll tell you one external thing which had a problem, which may have affected my liking of this movie. Some cunt next to me kept farting.
Oh, and it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't. It was just this dude next to me, right? And one of the really important parts. One of the important bits of the movie where he goes onto the set of that fucking Robert De Niro movie. This cunt just lets one rip, and I'm like, like this.
As in, like you heard it?
No, I fucking wafted. It was fucking wafted. I could feel it. It was not the breeze of his ass, but the breeze of the cinema brought it with it. And I was like, oh, like this, and I fucking glared at him. I glared at him, and it might not have been him. It could have been someone else. He was acting like he was discovering it as well, which is what I would do. And right? Like, oh, whoever can that be? Right, pretending it's not
turning
from your
his
own
head
asshole.
Right, looking exactly. For the culprit.
That's what he did. I'm like, if you're doing that, you're doing it quite well. So I'm not gonna fucking elbow you, right? But fuck me, I was pissed, and I couldn't breathe for about a minute. I had to do that thing where I used the jacket as a filter for my nose, like a damn rebreather. So. That is an issue which had nothing to do with the movie. But, I don't know. The movie got too boring. He held shots too long and it pissed me off.
Yeah,
right?
And not enough happens as far as I'm concerned. And, there's this
for its runtime. How long is it?
122 minutes.
Too long!
There was this big thing about it would incite violence because the Joker uses violence and gains confidence from it. This may encourage people. And so the victims' families from the Aurora massacre in 2012... Mm. Came out and expressed their concerns, although I don't believe they'd seen the film at that point, so it was interesting enough. But anyway, I kind of get where they're coming from to some degree now, having seen the film, but I'm not going to get on board with that. Like, if you can't differentiate between fantasy of a film and reality of real life, you have a problem and it's got nothing to do with a movie.
Absolutely. It's all crap. So, sorry, it's all crap. Like, if, you know, do you remember the hacker fucking, you know, incidences of shit after a movie like Sneakers came out? No, because it didn't happen.
After Hackers came out. Hackers of the world unite.
Yeah, Hackers. Remember that fucking Johnny Lee Miller shit? All right.
No, I remember that Angelina, your
Angelina, hair. Angelina, yes.
I'm pretty much done with talking about this movie.
Yeah. Look, let me tell you one. The best thing about this film, in my opinion, and you may not agree, is that I think Joaquin Phoenix's change from being that guy at the beginning with the problem to being Joker was good and gradual. Yes, it took its time because the movie took its time, but it wasn't no Game of Thrones turn on a dime kind of shit here, okay? It was like, at the end of the movie, it's a completely different character from the beginning, but it didn't feel jarring when he turned that way.
But I don't think that's the writing. I think that's the performance.
Probably. Again, the performance is the best thing about it then, so there you go.
So that's the reason this film gets, the mark it gets from me is because of the performance.
Yep.
Take out his performance, Joaquin Phoenix's performance, and this is an absolute, to me,
yeah, again, but that,
it's a shitty film. A little bit like Ad Astra last week, if it wasn't for Brad Pitt and his performance, I would have hated that movie. I don't know, I would have hated this one. It's a better film overall.
I don't know if that's valid. Like, if the movie was his performance and that's how the movie was shot, so that is the movie.
No, but you have to start with the script.
We take the movie
without, I think the script is average. Really average. Yeah, okay. I think the way it's put together is really average. It's poorly edited. I don't think there's enough of a plot or a story arc to it. Here? Yes.
Yeah.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Most of it applies to Ad Astra as well, if I'm really honest.
Okay, what's your score?
At least Ad Astra had a narrative thrust. There's a purpose to what he's doing. This film is just watching someone waiting for the next shitty thing to happen to them so that they go further down the road to becoming the Joker.
Is Taxi Driver not like that, though? And is revered so well? Is it not much the same?
From vague memory, it's been a long time to watch Taxi Driver. Yeah. Yes, but I think it's got more to say, Taxi Driver, than this film.
Taxi Driver has those horrible moments, like when Martin Scorsese gets in the back of the car and starts talking about like this filthy shit with Travis Tritt, and he's like, you know, it's like, oh, this city is just horrible. You know, this isn't quite that hard hitting,
but it's aping that. It's really, totally, really emphasizing those same points, and it just doesn't do it as well.
Yeah, and it depressed me. This movie depressed me, so I didn't like it as much.
That easy. It's not a good time. 100% agree. Look, in the end, I give this a flat 60.
Ah, I've actually given it a 63.
Wow, so the difference between us was pretty minimal. Like,
yeah.
It's the performance is incredible.
You know, the performance should be just like a 70. For real, it's so good. It's very, 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 very good.
I will never watch
it
again.
But I didn't have
a
good time, so I fucked it off.
Never watch it again. Like, I had no, like you say, enjoyment really out of watching this film. I don't understand the 5 stars that it's getting. I also don't understand the 1-star reactionary sort of buzz that seems to be getting, you know, people are shitting on it. For me, it's... No, I guess I'm right in the middle, and you are too, right in the middle of the road.
It's a fine film. It's okay. A fine film.
I'll never talk about it again. It won't make any list we're going to do. It's not the best. It's not the worst. It's just okay overall, which is, to be honest, a bit of a letdown. A
lot of buzz. That's what it is. By the way, I went to the cinema last night. One seat left.
Wow.
8:30 session, standard cinema.
Wow.
Full, this thing. This thing is killing it. I went, holy shit, this cinema. For this kind of movie, it's full. Forget about it.
Oh, the buzz. A huge buzz.
The buzz is through the roof.
It's
going
to make a lot of money for sure, and I think we'll hear about it come awards time, but I guess time will tell. All right, if you agree or disagree with us, let us know via email, thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. In our Facebook listener community, link is in the show notes, and you can follow us and write comments on the Podbean app where we host the show. ccradio.com.au is where we are also found as part of our Australian network of awesome shows, where you can find the new shows Fangirling and Fightcast Australia, and say goodbye to CC, i.e. Comic Confidential, when it finishes up in the next couple of weeks. That's it from us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Joker.
I'm a Joker, and Jog is on you! Yeah! Joker, and Jog is on you! Yeah! Hey, this is Tommy again.
I don't know.
I don't know if I stepped over that. Who cares? Fuck it. Good night!
Good night!